ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Because yesterday's verse was so unusual, I thought I would begin by reading Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, not just verse, but series of verses, 12 through 15, Canto 3, Chapter 32, 12 through 15. Here's the translation and his commentary. Sometimes, Brahma, creator of the moving and non-moving beings, the knower of the Vedas, along with the sages, the lords of yoga, the Kumaras, and other perfected beings, and practitioners of yoga, because of seeing difference and false identity by conceptions of being a doer, enter into the Supreme Lord by execution of activities with detachment, but Brahma and the others are born again after some time by the force of the Lord in the form of time with the disturbance of the gunas. The sages also, endowed with powers by their pious acts, come back when the gunas become disturbed. Creation. Commentary. How can we understand? Question. This is quotes. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is posing a question which purportedly Kapila Deva is responding to by this verse. So, here's the question. Quote. How can we understand that Brahma gets liberation, but he does not desire to liberate his devotees? Unquote. Response. Brahma's liberation is also only in appearance. In the Gita, the Lord says, Mam eva padyante mayam etam tarantite. Those who surrender unto me cross over my maya. Bhagavad Gita 4.11. From this it is understood that even Brahma does not get liberation if he does not have bhakti. What to speak of as inferiors then, exclamation point. That is explained in these verses. Brahma, though the cause of adya of all beings, living beings, though the knower of all the Vedas, along with this, with sages like Marici, the most perfect of yogis, what to speak of practicing yogis, has false identity because of seeing that he is different from the Lord. Quote, I, Brahma, so he's paraphrasing Brahma's thought process, independent thought process, at least sometimes. I, Brahma, am the creator. Vishnu is the maintainer. Shiva is the destroyer. Thus thinking himself the best doer, he enters into the Lord endowed with auspicious qualities, Sagunam, at the time of the great destruction. And again, after some time, when the Mahatattva and other elements again appear because of disturbance of the gunas, disturbed by time, he is born again as Brahma, yata purvam, thus as previous. So the sages accompany Brahma, enjoying powers such as Anima, the mystic cities, by their karma, jnana, and yoga in the previous mahakalpa come back again in the beginning of the next mahakalpa. Paragraph. How is it possible for the greatest of yogis like the Kumaras and other perfected beings and gurus omniscient through yoga practice to have false conceptions of identity and to see difference? How could they be great masters of yoga but have false identity and see difference? Without false conceptions, they search out the undifferentiated Brahman, but having the conception that Brahman takes on variety only through Maya, that means my bodies, they see difference in the personal form of the Lord, who actually excludes difference, just as one sees difference between material objects. And they identify themselves as realizers of Brahman and reject the Lord with form. With this vision and identity, they think they are the doers, having a right to action. Therefore they return. What has been described here are Brahma sages, yogis, jnanis, and kumaras who are devoid of bhakti in some particular universe. The Brahmas and sages of all other universes have bhakti and thus attain liberation and prema bhakti with dasya and other relationships according to their degree of bhakti. So that helps, right? It's sometimes in perhaps one of the universes. Sometimes. And so the emphasis is going to what the title of the chapter is, Adverse Fruit of Activities. When there is a conception of separateness, a misconception of separateness, and because of that separateness, doership, and because of that conception of doership, entanglement in fruitive activities, there's consequences, even up to the greatest, or to speak of ourselves. So that's the message. Now, for today, there are 6 verses, all on the same theme. So it goes 16 through 21, where Kapila Dev is describing following this idea of seeing separateness. So there's conceptions, and then there's the actions of the modes of nature. Upon that conception, religious activities that are fruitive in intention, before it was Hiranyagarbha worshippers, now it's demigod worshippers. And what happens when there's this separate conception, I'm the doer, impelled by the mode of passion, fruitive activities, and consequences? That's what these verses are describing. So I'll read starting with text 16. Persons who are too addicted to this material world execute their prescribed duties very nicely and with great faith. They daily perform all such prescribed duties with attachment to the fruitive result. Short purport. In this and the following six verses, the Srimad Bhagavatam criticizes persons who are too materially attached. It is enjoined in the Vedic scriptures that those who are attached to the enjoyment of material facilities have to sacrifice and undergo certain ritualistic performances. They have to observe certain rules and regulations in their daily lives to be elevated to the heavenly planets. It is stated in this verse that such persons cannot be liberated at any time. Those who worship demigods with the consciousness that each and every demigod is a separate god cannot be elevated to the spiritual world. What to speak of persons who are simply attached to duties for the upliftment of their material condition, though the not regulated by the Vedas or codes of upliftment. Their situation is clear, but even those that are nicely following, strictly following, faithfully following the other codes of the Vedas, they can't be elevated to the spiritual world. And commonly we find they don't even have a conception. A distinction between heaven and the kingdom of God, and sometimes those terms are used interchangeably like they're the same thing, but they're not the same thing. They don't have the capacity for that distinction. Or it's one of the challenges for the Bhagavatam adherent to help people understand the distinction. And the distinction of consciousness behind attaining one and attaining the other. What to speak of living one's life accordingly. But the message of the Bhagavatam is very clear here. It sounds like this verse, Kamais Taista Ritagyana Prapadyante Anidevata. Krishna gives the faith to those persons that then in turn are faithless towards the Supreme, and the goal, the process and the goal, and the object are unclear for those persons. So text 17, such persons, impelled by the mode of passion, are full of anxieties and always aspire to sense gratification due to uncontrolled senses. They worship the forefathers and are busy day and night improving the economic conditions of their family, social, and national life. No purport. Text 18. Such persons are called Trivargika. And it explains that in the purport. Trivargika indicates dharma, artha, kama, and they just eliminate any interest in moksha. Trivargika. What does it say? Vargika means elevating processes. Such persons are called Trivargika because they are interested in the three elevating processes. They are averse to the Supreme Personality of Godhead who can give relief to the conditioned soul. They are not interested in the Supreme Personality's pastimes, which are worth hearing because of his transcendental prowess. And it goes over the next verses. They're inclined to hearing novels, dramas, fiction, life stories that are worldly. And that's their attraction. And they're not interested in factual descriptions of the personality of Godhead. They're just not attracted. Purport. According to Vedic thought, there are four elevating principles, including liberation. Persons who are simply interested in material enjoyment make plans to execute prescribed duties. They're interested in the three elevating processes, religious rituals, economic elevation, and sense enjoyment. By developing their economic condition, they can enjoy material life. Materialistic persons, therefore, are interested in those elevating processes, which are called trivargika. Such materialistic persons are never attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, rather they are antagonistic towards Him. Paragraph. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is here described as Hari Medha, or he who can deliver one from the cycle of birth and death. Materialistic persons are never interested in hearing about the marvelous pastimes of the Lord. They think that they are fictions and stories, and that the Supreme Godhead is also a man of material nature. They are not fit for advancing in devotional service or Krishna consciousness. Such materialistic persons are interested in newspaper stories, novels, and imaginary dramas. I mean, think about it. What's popular out there? Harry Potter and anything else but Krishna. There's a new one. I saw somebody reading it next to me in the flight up here. Hunger Games. You know that one? It's a new one. It's a bestseller novel, and now it's made into a movie, and it's something like there's a big war, and it blows up everybody and everything, and then it's like devastation, and there's some little something left on the planet, and then those people, in order to control, they select some young boy, young girl from different places, and their assignment is to kill each other off, and whoever is left wins. Mm-hmm. Something like that. So there's these young people doing war games, or with primitive bow and arrow and survival and killing each other. It's very popular. Etc. In appreciating Kapila Dev's teachings here, it elevates in a different way. The appreciation of how much Prabhupada wanted Srimad Bhagavatam to be popularized. Because the narrations are certainly fascinating, but because the Personality of God is at the center, it's elevating in addition to fascinating. But knowing very well what Kapila Dev is saying, because of their conceptions, their egoistic conceptions of life, people aren't interested in the Bhagavatam. So he wants people to be interested in the Bhagavatam. Carrying on. The factual activities of the Lord, such as Krishna's acting in the battle of Kurukshetra, the activities of the Pandavas, the Lord's activities in Vrindavan and Dwaraka, are related in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which are full of activities of the Lord, but materialistic persons who engage in elevating their position in the material world are not interested in such activities of the Lord. They may be interested in the activities of a great politician or a great rich man of this world, but they are not interested in the transcendental activities of the Lord. Which is echoing something from, or expanding something from, the first canto of Narada's discussions with Vyas. The pilgrimage of the crow, Sukadeva Goswami, the second canto. Literatures that are pilgrimage for the crows, and literature that's attractive for the swan-like men. Text 19. It just continues on the same theme. Such persons are condemned by the supreme order of the Lord because they are averse to the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are compared to stool-eating hogs. They give up hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord and indulge in hearing of the abominable activities of materialistic persons. And similar kind of purport lists the literatures, spiritual literatures, mentions also Bible and Quran. People aren't interested. These people are condemned by the supreme order as much as